I'm Paul Lancor with PodTech.net. The ever-increasing demands on an organization's network can put strain on the infrastructure. This can reduce performance and can hurt the bottom line. The remedy to these problems and to meet future needs could come from deploying multi-protocol label switching, or MPLS. In this podcast, Rajiv Jain of BearingPoint explains the advantages of this relatively new technology and what to consider when looking to deploy it. I started our conversation by asking Rajiv to give us a little history pre-MPLS.
Organization had these choices of technologies between point-to-point, frame relay, and ATM. Frame relay and ATMs were a managed service at the layer 2 in the network jargon, where vendors were able to actually offer discounted prices compared to point-to-point technologies, because a vendor was able to share the bandwidth with other users. And primarily the frame relay and ATMs was used on the long haul, where the bandwidths were much more expensive, and organizations could leverage this technology to create their long-haul network, wide area networks, and point-to-point technologies were used either when they needed a large amount of capacities or they were in a short haul. And there are variations in what they bring to the table. Frame relay brings to a table that on a same physical connection to the local loop, organizations could create virtual circuit, so they could actually be able to route traffic to two or more places depending on how they created those virtual circuit, and organizations could direct the traffic to multiple places, which in the case of point-to-point technologies, they needed a physical link between the points to create those any-to-any kind of connectivity. And ATM was, again, similar to frame relay, but had more bandwidth available, and people could create those logical links on the carrier network for long haul in a cost-effective fashion.
So that's the historical situation, and then about 3 or 5 years ago, MPLS came along, and I was wondering if you could tell us how MPLS is different and what features make it more advantageous.
So the MPLS has been around for, as you said, 3 to 5 years. And why MPLS is different or more attractive for the customers as well as for the telecom carriers is that it is much more scalable in the sense that users could buy the bandwidth on demand. It is much more cost-effective as carriers are able to actually consolidate the network and are able to offer those cost advantage to the end customers. Another key advantage which MPLS provides, which was not there in the case of frame relay ATM, is that it has actually complete any-to-any connectivity. As I said, in the frame relay or in ATM, you need to create those virtual links. But in the case of MPLS, you can direct traffic from any point to any point without creating any kind of a logical circuit notion. So if organization needs to do the disaster recovery or BCP, the network is there by default and the traffic could be routed. And last but not the least, as we are seeing the convergence, people want to carry voice and video traffic on the same backbone network, then MPLS provides traffic classification and prioritization. So voice traffic, which cannot sustain much delay or jitter, that could be prioritized over the non-critical business traffic. And between the business traffic and non-critical business traffic also, you can prioritize the traffic. So that has been the biggest advantages of the MPLS technology.
So if that appeals to me and I'm looking to deploy MPLS, what needs to be considered? What do I need to consider about my organization when designing MPLS?
So when you start looking at designing the MPLS, first decision we start seeing is that should I be buying MPLS service from the carrier or should I be building the MPLS network? MPLS network is basically a traditional IP network, a routed network, but you overlay this advanced MPLS protocol onto that so that you can do the kind of stuff I talked about earlier. So when you start making a decision about build versus buy, a couple of key factors you should be looking at: how many sites I need to be connecting, what kind of a services I need to be carrying on that, as we talked about voice, video. But some of the large organizations have certain legacy kind of protocols or legacy traffic needs to be carried, like SNA, IPX. Do I need to carry those traffic? What is the geographical reach I need to cover from this network? Is it a global network? Is it a local network in one country? What kind of bandwidths am I wanting to carry? So those are the key factors, and just spending a couple of minutes on that, you know, what kind of a decision making. If you're going to be carrying a large amount of bandwidth for a fewer number side, but you need to carry this voice video, probably you can buy the links from the carrier and create your own private MPLS network and be having a lot of flexibility. On the other hand, if you are having, you know, smaller capacity, number of sites which are very, very geographically dispersed, you're better off looking at a carrier who could service your need compared to your trying to create. So there is some sort of a break-even point. You know, if very few sites but large capacity, then you may be better off, depending on the geographical reach, to create your own versus medium-sized network in a single geography. But if in a single geography we are looking at few thousand location, probably you may be better off looking at creating your own MPLS backbone and providing services to your organization.
So one of the things you mentioned is the buy-build decision. I've made that decision, and each of those choices has its own key technical decisions. I was wondering if you could run those down for us.
Yeah, so once you make the decision that whether you are buying or build, based on how you want a carrier to have a control of your network versus you want to control the complete routing of the traffic, there are two options available. One is what we call is a layer 2 service, and another is called layer 3 service. The main distinction is that carrier has a complete understanding of your network topology, routing of traffic, versus carrier provides little dummy network at the layer 2, and you have a full control of your routing. Some organization, for the security reasons, or they don't trust the carrier that they would be able to provide the very reliable network routing and network control, decides to go for layer 2. Some organizations prefer that we do not want to have the responsibility of network control and would prefer to outsource. So this is sort of a, you know, where you are in the level of maturity in the organization, and then you decide whether you would go to the layer 2 and layer 3 kind of a service and some of the traffic type you want to carry.
So I've made these decisions now and I need to implement this. What actually happens? What are the events that take place now that constitute implementation, and what needs to be prioritized?
So once you decide to implement and made a decision which carrier you would be using it to deploy, carrier needs to bring the physical circuit to your premise, and they connect to the nearest POP, a point of presence, what we call it, where they would be connecting to their MPLS backbone. At your premise, they will install what is called a customer edge router, and that is the sort of a handoff between the enterprise network or a customer network versus the carrier network that separates out the traffic. Carrier then is responsible to carry traffic from one CE to other end of the CE, depending on where the traffic is destined to. So they are installing the cabling, they are installing the router, they are configuring the router, depending on what kind of traffic you want to carry. Before you will decide traffic to carry, you look at your internal application needs to be carried. You try and classify the traffic into different buckets, I should say, or different classes of service, because some traffic is more time sensitive versus some traffic could sustain certain delay or latency. So you prioritize the traffic depending on your requirement, and then carrier configures this CE device so that it can understand the traffic prioritization as discussed between the customer and the vendor, and then it can carry on their network.
Are there other technical decisions that people should be carefully considering when going for MPLS?
A couple of other decisions which are critical for the success of the service are that when you have selected a particular MPLS service provider or the service, you need to see what kind of latency. When I say latency, is basically the round-trip delay when traffic leaves one place and reaches the other place and comes back. That is called a round-trip delay. How much latency is you're getting it? For voice kind of a traffic, you need to be ensuring that you have a minimal jitter. Jitter is how much variation in the latency is experienced by a traffic, because if you're doing an interactive voice, You don't want to have a lag in your conversation. Other technical parameters are packet loss. For the data kind of a traffic, you can sustain certain packet loss because the higher level application recovers from any kind of packet losses, but voice or video kind of traffic will not have any retransmissions. So you want to ensure that the network you are subscribing has a minimal packet loss. You need to be very sure that the service you are using it is would meet certain technical parameters so that your service, you get a good quality service from the vendor.
And I assume, Rajiv, that once you've established what you need to get from the vendor, that there are service level agreements that cover what is to be expected in terms of jitter and latency, and that you'll be able to then use metrics to actually compare it against that. Is that right?
That is correct. So your carriers have some standard metrics for offering the latency, jitter, packet loss, and availability. And customers, you know, audience are advised they should look at end-to-end performance parameter. When I say end-to-end, is from not the vendor POP, but from the customer edge to the other end of the customer, and not say vendor POP to vendor POP, because a lot of time problems could be from the customer edge to the vendor POP. So you want to make sure that you are covered end-to-end and it is not only POP to POP. Another area I wanted to say is that, as I said, that there are standard, these metrics are available, but carriers have ability in this MPLS network to engineer a route which is more preferred, which has less latency, less jitter, using the traffic engineering, which allows carriers to create specific path depending on the customer requirements, so they can actually build a sort of a logical channel in their MPLS backbone, which could be useful for certain kind of traffic, and customers could leverage that thing if they have leveraging power with the vendor. And if you are actually implementing this network MPLS backbone, you could consider implementing traffic engineering and fast reroute are two technical areas which organizations should be considering, because fast reroute enables that in case of any backbone link failures, network is able to learn about the failure and reroute the traffic much faster than the traditional routing protocol would do, which could delay the traffic by a few seconds. And in the case of fast reroute, you could do it in less than 50 milliseconds. So any kind of traffic will not sustain any failure. And traffic engineering would allow you to, you know, create path and carry any specific traffic using the created channels.
If you've done enough of your homework and designed a network that's appropriate for your needs, then it's going to be appropriate for your needs in the future, right? Because it has built-in flexibility and scalability?
Yes, so because you can subscribe to a certain size of the port, and then as your traffic requirement or business requirement grows, you should be able to scale up. A lot of time you should be able to do the logical change on the carrier network to scale your requirement. And as you said, you know, if you have done enough homework, primarily if you understand what kind of a traffic you want to carry, and it looks a little painful, but it is a good idea to understand and inventory your application and identify what are the requirements for those applications. So if you follow a structured approach of creating an inventory, categorizing those applications on different buckets, understanding how much traffic would each of those application buckets would be generating in, and then overlaying those to the classes of service supported on the carrier network, then you would be truly leveraging the capabilities of the network. I have seen it in some other organization, although they subscribe to these bandwidth in different classes, but they find it painful to categorize their application. So most of the time, they are not able to leverage these classification, and all the traffic goes in the single lowest bucket, so which is not making full use of the capabilities of this network.
Rajiv, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today.
Welcome.